And we're going to have a couple of songs, and then I'm going to preach to you this morning. For announcements, let's listen carefully. February the 4th, the youth are going to have a after church on Sunday morning, they're going to have an activity. They're going to have pizza and an activity on February the 4th. So if you got any questions, talk to Greg and Maria. All right? And they will take care of that. And then this coming Saturday is Caitlin Cart's shower. That was postponed from yesterday. And it'll be at 4 o'clock this coming Saturday on the 27th. And then we have the Bible Readers Banquet Friday at 6 o'clock. And you still need to sign up now. You got all day today. But after tonight, then if you're not signed up, then you'll just have to stay at the house. All right? And so don't worry about the money or anything. If you need money, you tell me. I'll take care of you. If you done paid your money, you're good. If you read your Bible through, you're good. But if not, and you won't come, it costs you $10 a plate. And for what you're going to eat, you're not going to buy that at a restaurant nowhere. That I can promise you. All right? It'll be better. It'll be better than that. All right? Let's see. If you haven't signed up and you want to, call me or Brother Rick, text me or Brother Rick, and we'll add your name. That's no problem. I had one family of six done that. They hadn't signed up and they were going to today, but so I took care of that. I have that on my sheet here. So that's taken care of. So if you need to do that, you go right ahead. All right. Now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Brother Rick to pray for us, and then I'm going to play a song. And we're going to keep this right on the screen, and I believe you'll be able to read it well because of the way it's written. So, Brother Rick, if you'll pray for us, and then we'll go right on.
say that I thank God for what he's done for me here.
Yes.
I had reached that far. He hadn't reached down to pick me up.
Yes.
I see it. I heard this when I first heard this song quite a long time ago. That second verse really got my attention as personally. In my personal life, I had visions. I had dreams. And I even held them in my hands, looking for something in life that I didn't need.
Right.
Fame and fortune.
That's right.
I held it in my hands, but I never knew that they could slip right through.
Yeah.
Just like they're on the graves of sand.
Yeah.
But when they slipped through, I had to look back.
Yeah.
And standing beside me was my Savior.
Yeah.
And the anchor still holds. Set my feet upon solid ground again. Praise his name this morning. Oh, it's like Tristan always sung about the alabaster box. I never could get over that line. Said, you don't know the price of the oil. Morning for what he's already done.
Yes.
Already this morning.
Yeah.
Alright, we're going to try something.
Yeah. Hang on.
This song is for Jesus. But it's for Mooney this morning. I don't know if she's watching. I hope she is. If not, she'll go back and watch it.
Yeah.
This is for Mooney this morning.
Yeah.
Personal.
Thank you.
felt like that was fitting for what we're going through right now, for the church and the problems and everything that's happening. I want to remind everyone to be praying for Mooney and Shane and the family as we prepare to take care of Brother Darrell this week. And Sister Miranda is up there in ICU, close to going home to be with the Lord. We need to pray for Miranda's family, Miranda, Agnes, and all of them. The church has been hit hard here lately. It seemed like with death, a lot of death. But I want you to understand, why should I worry? Why should I fear? That very same Jesus is always near. And I want you to be encouraged today. Now, we've been preaching on love, and I want you to think about this, loving more in 2024. And we've looked at some things. Well, today, it might be the hardest thing to apply today in the Bible that I'm aware of. Maybe it's just me personally. But we're going to look at it today. I would love to preach on heaven. I would love to preach on some other things that would be good. But all the Bible is good. But I'm going to preach on what Jesus said today, and that should be better than anything. So let's look at it. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get right into the message this morning. Father, we need you today. You're so wonderful, Lord. The songs that you led me to pick out. It was good that Sunday when BB and Cheryl and Trista sang it, but Lord, it was good this morning, as we listened to the tape. But Father, you're so good to us. We need you. You're wonderful. And Lord, I need you to cleanse me. I'm filthy. I'm unworthy. But Father, I do pray just now that you might give me power, that I might preach as you want me to preach, not as I want, but as you want me to. May every listener apply this today. It'll make us more like you. It'll make us better Christians. But Lord, it'll strengthen our church if we'll do that. It'll strengthen our lives. Lord, I pray that you speak to us through thy Holy Spirit. Thank you for Brother Rick's Sunday school this morning. Wonderful. Thank you for the Word of God. Now, Lord, help us preach, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Let's look here. I think you can see this today. I'm not worried about you seeing me, but I think you can see this today, and we're going to, I'm hung up. So hit me there. All right. We think of our title, you know, Loving More in 2024, but we think about this. You serve what you love. You love what you serve, and there's no love without service. Now, I want to beat that truth in our minds that we serve what we love. If we love the Lord, and we've done preached about that, if we love the Lord, we should, we're going to serve the Lord. But if we love the world, we're going to serve the world. And that's what you need to be aware of. You love what you serve. You serve what you love. You love what you serve. But there's no love without sacrifice. And can I tell you, if you love the world, you'll sacrifice your time, your money, your talents to serve the world. And if you love the Lord, you'll sacrifice your time, your talents, and everything the same way with the Lord. Just remember that there's no love without sacrifice. All right. Now, love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. I don't know of a better meaning for love than that right there. That love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. And we have everything so backwards. We have love so selfishly that we're more concerned about our benefit than the benefit that we bestow. And we need to think about that. That love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. All right. And then we think of this. Love is that act, because love is an action word. So love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. You think about that. Love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. What a meaning, all right? What a meaning. Now, we looked at God's love for a sinner. We looked at God's love for his children. We looked at our love for God. Now we're going to look this morning on our love for our enemies. And when we think of that now the, this is when our Christian faith is going to, the rubber's going to hit the road, because I have no problem loving you if you love me. But if you don't love me, then I might have a problem. If you agree with me, I'll love you. If you disagree with me, then I'm going to get mad. Well, that ain't what the Bible teaches. We're going to have to pay attention to some things and listen carefully this morning. All right? Listen carefully this morning as we try our best to preach on loving our enemies. All right? Now think about this. What is an enemy? Well, the first thing says it's a foe. All right, a foe or an adversary. A private enemy is one who hates another and wishes him injury, or attempts to do him injury to gratify his own malice or ill will. A public enemy or foe is one who belongs to a nation or party at war with another, or one who hates or dislikes as an enemy to truth or falsehood. Now that's the meaning out of the dictionary, an 1828 dictionary about what an enemy is. Now think about that. Now they probably some newfangled enemy definitions now that'll try to soften it, I'm sure, but that's the way it is right there. All right. Now this might be the single hardest thing to do in all of our life, is to love somebody that is against us. Now, we say we can't do it. We say we can't. So what I said here, I said, well, tell God and wait for his response. Let's see what he says when you tell him you can't. All right? Tell Jesus that as he dies on for the world on Calvary, that you can't love your enemies. Tell Jesus that. He died for the world. He died for those who crucified him. He died for those who done everything to him, and he loved them, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I tell you, he loved them like nobody could love us, and but yet he give us an example, and he tells us to do the same thing. Now, you say, well, I can't do it. Well, by myself, I can't do it. You're right. If it's just on me, my flesh don't want me to do it. But with the Lord, I can do it if I'm walking with him. Now, if I'm not walking with him, then I probably will go ahead and hate and have malice and ill will and revenge and probably all these other things. But if I'm walking with the Lord, I'll probably have love. Huh? How about this? If I'm walking with the Lord, I will have love. How about that? All right. Now, let's look on. Listen carefully. We hold grudges because we've been taught to hold grudges. We've been taught to hold grudges. I don't know that you can naturally hold a grudge unless you're taught that. All right. We're racist, but we're born that way. Do you know that nobody, we're not born that way. Nobody is born a racist. If you take two little kids and you have a black one and a yellow one and a white one, they play and hug and there's no problem. But if the parents teach them that there's something wrong with the white one or the black one or the yellow one, then they won't play. But they have to be taught that. All right? Now you understand that. Now we may not like that, but that's true. It's been proven time in and time out in schools, in Sunday schools, and on playgrounds, and in communities, until a parent comes down and says, you get away from that person. And if you ask, well, they're black, we don't fool with them, or they're yellow, or they're white, whatever the case may be. Now, that's just the way it is. Like it or not, that's the way it is. And you have to be taught that. Now, why would we hate a person we have never met, but because of his collar, we naturally hate him? Now, why would that be? Why would that be? You think about that. We have to be taught it. It don't come naturally like that. Huh? Think about it. Now, as Christians, our desire should be to be more like Jesus. That ought to be our desire. Now that's what every day. I think of this every day. Brother Butch Rexroad has prayed this, and it's etched in my mind That every day I think, I ought to be more like Jesus. Well, I hear it and I think about it, but I don't always do it. But yet it's in my mind. And anytime anybody prays in the church house, I always think about, and Lord, make me more like Jesus. Brother Butch, you've taught me that. I'll forever remember you. If you go home to be with the Lord today and I live 50 years, I will remember you teaching me to, and Lord, make me more like Jesus. Thank you so much for that. And it comes in my mind. And when it comes to this part though, it's hard. I want to be more like Jesus in my giving. I want to be more like Jesus in my walk. I want to be like Jesus in my talk. But when it comes to loving my enemy, I don't really want to be like Jesus right here. Huh? What we really need to think about is loving our enemy. Loving our enemy. You think about that today. Now let's look what the Bible says. Matthew. Now this is Jesus speaking. Now, again, I use Jesus' words, and a lot of people don't want to use Jesus' words. They think it's in the wrong time frame or whatever. This is my Bible. It's written for me, and there's a lot of it not written to me, but every bit of it is written for me. And can I tell you right here, this is written for us. You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what Jesus said. Now, I'm not going to say, well, that don't mean me. Well, that's what Jesus said. Now, if you want to do that, you go ahead. But I'm going to answer to him, and he may ask me, well, what do you think about Matthew 5? What if he asked me what I think about Matthew 5? I said, well, that didn't apply to me. That was them other people. Are you hearing how silly that sound? Now, let's look at Luke chapter 6 and look here at these verses. But I say unto you, which hear. See, everybody won't hear. Ain't that amazing? But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Now, we're not taught that. I was not taught that. Can I tell you, I was taught, don't you start nothing, but if somebody hits you, you lay them out. But that ain't what Jesus said. And we can say, but and what if, all we want. But Jesus said, unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. That's hard living. Might be good preaching, but it's hard living. Huh? And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Now you notice he's not saying Gentiles and Jews. He's talking about believers and sinners here. I just want you to see his distinction. Does everybody understand that? Those that will hear him are like the wise man that built his house on the rock. Those that wouldn't build their house on the sand. That's the way Jesus made a distinction. Okay, and now he says, now sinners do the same. Us believers, we don't, there's going to have to be a difference here. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies. And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind, unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Wow. Huh? Well, who's my enemy? Now, if we're going to have to love them, who are they? Well, good question. Let's see what the Bible said. Matthew 10:36 says, and a man's foe. Now, remember, that was the first meaning of enemy, was a foe. And Jesus said, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He said, what? Well, can I tell you, they's trouble down at the house a lot of times. All right? Everybody understand that? Matthew 10:35 says, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father. So there we have a man, a son against a father, and then a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Huh? Now, that's just Jesus giving us an example. All right? A son against a father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You know there's trouble right there in a home all the time. Rebellious sons, fathers provoking their children to wrath, a rebellious son against the father. Same way with a mother and a daughter. All right? My daughter don't want to listen to mommy, and mommy maybe might provoke the daughter, but there's trouble there. And then when the in-laws come in, huh? That's what I've said at many a wedding. When I've had the wedding, I said, all right, now you in-laws and outlaws. Because that's the way we view them. You know, if it's the bride, it's her in-laws. No, it's her outlaws. Her husband will have the in-laws. They'll be good. But the outlaws are his people, you know, back and forth. Can I tell you, there's a lot of problems with daughter-in-laws and mommy-in-laws. And can I say a lot of trouble with son-in-laws and daddy-in-laws? There's trouble down at the house, is what I'm trying to get you to understand. There's trouble down at the house. See, we see that family sometimes is our enemy. Now, there's no need in us acting like that ain't true, because it is. Because there's parents who won't speak to their children. There's children who won't speak to their parents. All right? We get mad at our children. We hold things against our children. We hold grudges against our children. We say we forgive and bring it up to them. When they do something else, we bring that up. And that's because they're enemy, like it or not. When parents make a mistake, the children always throwing that up to their face. Can I tell you, there's enemies out the house. Now we bring this into the church house, and we have families that are sitting on the bench that don't get along. We have families that sit on either side of the church that don't get along. We got people who won't come to church because family comes to church. So there's trouble down at the house. Alright? We have had friends who has become our enemy. We have groups, organizations, political parties, they have become our enemies. Huh? We bring that into the church house. Huh? I'm even guilty of that, making derogatory remarks about the Democrats. I am a Republican. But what I am is I'm a Bible believer, and I'm not going to uphold a Republican or a Democrat either, but I'm always slurring, you know. I'm always slurring. Are they my enemy? Are they me? Maybe the platform is the enemy. Is the people my enemy? I need to make sure I understand. Jesus just said, love your enemy. He didn't say, do what your enemies do. He said, love them. Everybody listening? Huh? Now, we have complete strangers who we believe is our enemy. Other countries, all they have to do is live there to be an enemy. We're taught so much prejudice and racism. And I listen, everybody understands I'm as patriotic as anybody else. All right? But if we're from North Korea, they're all bad. If we're South Korea, they're good. And if you stand one beside another, we can't tell them apart. All right? We don't care for Japan. We don't like nobody from China. We don't like nobody from Vietnam. We're just now getting to where we like a few people from Germany, because so many people have been stationed over there and got German wives, and a lot of us are German descent, so we don't dislike them as bad. Alright, we don't like people of black skin. Well, Brother Boyd is going to be hurting then. He's going to Africa, and he's the only white man gone. So, if he's got anything in him, he better get shut up and now. Don't you think, Brother Boyd, you're listening, you better think about that. What I'm saying is, we got people we never met, and we count them an enemy. I don't think it's what the Lord has meant. Now, to be an American, you got to be that, you know. We don't like Indians. We're a cowboy. We can't like Indians. You know, even though we robbed them blind, stole their land, run them off, killed them, imprisoned them because they were Indian. Now, we may not like none of that, but that's just the truth of it. All right. We're the interlopers, not the Indian. Everybody understand that? You know, we really ain't much Christian in us. If you just really get down to it. There ain't a whole lot of Christian in us. Those who have wounded us, that's our enemy. Those who wounded our loved ones, that's our enemy. Those who've wronged us or our family, they're our enemy. See, the question was, who's our enemy? Those who've spoken ill or wrong about us or family. You know, those who believe different, think different, look different. Hey, how about those who sin different? Huh? They've become our enemies. This is one time I can say it's quiet in here because there's no way here. But I bet it's quiet down at your house too. I just want you to know it was quiet in the office last night when I put all this together, and I didn't like it either, just so you'll know. I didn't like none of it either. Okay? All too often, we justify our enemies, who they are. All right? We justify them. And our hatred, we justify. I've got a right to because of what they've done. Did you know that 210 years ago, an Indian shot one of my granddaddies? 210 years ago. So I don't like no Indian. Now, I don't like nobody from Germany, because in the 40s, some of my people went to Germany and they got killed in World War II. So I don't like nobody from Europe. Okay? Now, some of my people went to the South Pacific, so I don't like no Oriental. All right? So I lived in a town at Winona, when segregation had just stopped, and we still had what we called the colored school, and because you had the white school and the colored school, and I was taught racism and prejudice from a child. And I was taught wrong. And so was all my family. Okay? Everybody listening to me? All right? And I've justified it because that's the way that one person was. We even had slang words for colored people. I like what the feller said. The young boy come home from Florida with one of the kids from college, and they were good friends. And he said, "You know, my people think you're colored." He said, "Well, what color am I?" He said, "Well, you're black." He said, "No, I'm not. I'm no darker than you are when you get a tan." So what color am I? Well, what if you see a blue person? And they are blue people. Do you know that in, I forget what town it was, there was a community of blue people. All of them. They were several generations, and they were blue. They looked like Smurfs. They were blue people. And you know that people didn't like them? Look it up. Google that. You'll find that people didn't like them because they were blue. What color was they? Wow. We don't like red people, don't like blue people, don't like black people, don't like yellow people. Huh? Don't like brown people, light brown, dark brown, black. We like white people. But yet if you're redheaded, you got a red tint to you. You know, if you're blonde, you're more white, so do we dislike blonde? Then we become Adolf Hitler. I mean, are you listening to what I'm saying? We're making all of our enemies up as we go, and we're justifying our enemies and our hatred for our enemies. And some of them, we don't even know them. And then Jesus said, remember, ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemy. That's just what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Can I ask you a question? Maybe you can answer. Maybe you can comment and answer. Is Jesus right? Could you type on a comment there? And I'll go back and look and see. Do you believe Jesus is right? He said, love your enemy. You believe it's right? Huh? Look at Matthew 5 now. We're going to look again here. And we're going to take verse 44 and we're going to dissect verse 44 like we did the other week, okay? We're going to look at that one verse, but I read 43 and 44 together. Let's look at it. Ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now we're going to stop there at that first phrase in the verse. And we're going to look at that, and then we're going to look next at bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them. We're going to separate it there, and we're going to preach this one verse about loving your enemies. Everybody okay? All right? Love your enemies. Love, we're going to love more in 2024. Huh? It shouldn't, but it's becoming a joke. It's becoming a joke in our church. We've teased poor old Dave Butler and Rick Vance. We've teased them that everybody's going to have to love them now. All right, so we give them a hard way to go, but everybody's going to have to love them. And we do that, we look around, but can I tell you, there's probably somebody in the church that don't like somebody in the church. We have that many people. I guarantee you. Huh? I might even can name names. Huh? I might even get name names. We might want to search ourselves because if it don't fix, we might have to. Huh? How about that? We okay? Love your enemies. First thing you do, it says, love your enemies. You need to speak to them. Now we say, well, I ain't speaking to that person. They're your enemy. Well, maybe that's what, if you love somebody, you're going to speak to them. If I love the Lord, I'm going to pray to him. If I love my wife, I'm going to speak to him. If I love my children, I'm going to speak to them. If I'm going to love my enemy, I need this first thing to do, speak to them. That's how you start showing love. You speak to them. Huh? We often overlook. Now, I got a lot of this wrote down here because they won't forget none of it to help you out. Now, listen. We often overlook this simple step. The simplest thing to do is speak to anybody. I speak to everybody. I go in the store, I speak to people. I speak to people at the gas pump. Out of state, don't matter where I'm at, I speak to people. How are you? Hello. But I have problems with some people around here, and I'll avoid them. Huh? So let's look. One part of loving our enemies is greeting them graciously. Oh, it's so hard. Huh? Yeah, greet them gracefully. Huh? When we see them, sometimes instead of turning the other cheek, Luke said that we ought to smite you. You turn the other cheek. Sometimes instead of turning the other cheek, we turn away so we don't have to say hello. Let me ask you, did you ever see somebody in a store at Walmart or a food line, you see them down the aisle and you decided you didn't need nothing down that aisle? Have you? Did you ever see somebody going in a store and you decided you'd go to another store and wait, come back there later? Did you ever do that? Huh? Well, they're probably not your dearest friend. Probably your enemy. Huh? So we turn away so we don't have to say hello to someone who has hurt us. Maybe some of us have been good at looking the other way. Oh, I didn't, you know, like we didn't notice them. Or ducking into a room. Or crossing the street. Or using caller ID to keep from greeting people we don't like. Huh? Did you ever use caller ID because you didn't want to talk to that person because they get on your nerves? Were they your enemy? Huh? Well, I'm just not in the mood for it. Why? Why are you not in the mood for someone you love? We okay? That's a lot, ain't it? One part of loving your enemy is to speak to them instead of avoiding them, okay? We can't avoid them. Smile. Oh, that's hard. Smile. Shake hands. Offer your hand to your enemy. Offer your hand to your enemy. Huh? Say hello to your enemy. Huh? It's a good first step on loving your enemy. What do you think? Huh? Now let's look again. Now we're just going to concentrate on verse 44. All right. But I say unto you, love your enemies and then bless them that curse you. Huh? What can this be? Well, how about we disarm them? How about we disarm them? See, we're wounded. We think they're going to hurt us. We think they're going to stick us, stab us, cut our head off. We think they're going to. So let's just disarm them. Okay? You understand? Let's look. That's what you do when you turn the other cheek. When you turn the other cheek, you disarm somebody. Because they're not expecting it. You smile, they smack you. Just turn around. There you go. Well, some may go ahead and do it, but some, it takes the gumption out of them to hurt you. If you're going to take it that well. They want to smack you and you get mad about it or fight them. But if you turn the other cheek, maybe not. You disarm it. You know, if you turn the other cheek or go the second mile, have more patience with someone. We'll get on forgiveness in another message on this loving, but that goes along with it, don't it? You know, you disarm them by doing the very thing they least expect. You do it by speaking well. And I found this story about Robert E. Lee. General Robert E. Lee was a great Christian man. Whether he was Confederate or Yankee does not matter. He was a great Christian man. All right? A lot of great Christians fought on both sides in the Civil War. All right, but you speak well of the person that is supposed to be your enemy. They don't expect that. But look what Robert E. Lee done. He said Robert E. Lee was once asked his opinion of a fellow officer who was widely known as one of Lee's greatest detractors, or he always finding fault and all these things. You know, mean mouthing him all the time. And the general responded that he thought the man a very fine officer. But general, the questioner replied, he perplexed, he didn't understand. I guess you don't know what he's been saying about you. Oh, yes I do, replied Lee. But I was asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me. Well, that's hard right there. Huh? That's hard right there. But Jesus said, love your enemy. He didn't say you ought to. He didn't say you'd be better if you did. He said to do it. That's just what he said. You've heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. That's what Jesus said. But I say. Now, of course, if Jesus is wrong, you know, we don't have to go by that. If Jesus is wrong, that don't apply to us. If the Bible's not true, then that don't apply to us. Okay? But if it's true, we're wrong if we don't. Huh? We refuse to speak, or we should refuse to speak evil of them. First thing happens when we get an enemy is we try to get somebody else on our side so that person can be their enemy also. So we speak evil of the person who's wronged us. The truth of the matter, if somebody wrongs me, the only person that should ever know is that person and the Lord. Nobody else should ever know about it. Because if you tell anybody else, you're a gossip. Are you hearing me? If somebody hurts you and you tell anybody else other than the person that hurts you or the Lord, you're a gossip. Like it or not. Refuse to speak evil of them. That's what Jesus meant when he said, bless those that who curse you. It means to choose not to think evil thoughts or refuse to speak evil words against those who wronged you. All right? Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We need to be very careful with our tongue for those who are our enemy. Those who we say we love and those who we don't love. We better be careful with our tongue. Huh? We can give you a lot more verses in Proverbs probably about the tongue. And maybe over in James, and I don't think it's none of it's going to be to our favor. It's not going to be to our good. So we'll just use this verse. How about that? We okay? Alright? Matthew 5, we're going to look again now. Notice what it says. Bless them that curse you, do good to them. Immediately said, bless them that curse you and do good to them. Do you realize how hard that is? Look at that. Love your enemies. Okay, Lord, I got that. Love your enemies. But then he said, bless them that curse you and do good to them. Wait a minute. Loving them is one thing. Okay, I love them. But now you want me to bless them and do good to them? Oh, well, yeah, that's what loving them is. We okay? Hard, ain't it? It's hard. I just want you to know it's worn me out. It's worn me out. You know why? Because I got enemies. Huh? I got enemies. Because of stands I've taken. I've got enemies because of things I've done to them. And we've become enemies. See, it ain't all what they've done to me and become my enemy. Some of my enemies is what I've done to them. Are you listening? Let's see what. Do good to them. Oh. That ain't right. Let's just ignore them. We ignore them. That'll be the best. Just ignore them. No. Bless them and do good to them on purpose. Jesus immediately added, do good to them. Huh? So we wouldn't miss the point. He said, bless them and curse you and do good to them. That's what he said. Now listen. Doing good to your enemies means seeing beyond your pain. Listen carefully now. Seeing beyond your pain and their meanness. Huh? To what they really are. Well, what are they really? They're no count governor? No. No, what they are is they're people that's made in the image of God just like you are. Okay? And understanding that there's something wrong inside of them that caused them to do what they do, just like there's something inside of you that causes you to do and me to do what we do. And we see them that they're an equal, they're not less. They're an equal, and we're all made in the image of God, and we're all wrong, we all got a problem. Huh? Doing good means doing what will promote their healing. Because maybe the reason they're your enemy is because they're hurt too. Huh? Despite the way they've treated you. You know, if we want to be like Jesus, we've got to make the first move. You make the first move. You send the email. You pick up the phone. You make the contact. You send a text. You bridge the gap. You set up the appointment to talk to them. You call first. You check on them. Do good to them. Told you it's going to be the hardest thing. I think it's the hardest thing in the Bible. I don't have no trouble with drinking. I've never drank, never tasted it. I don't run around with women. I've only known one woman. That's my wife. I don't cuss. Never did cuss. Never have cussed. I've not murdered nobody. I don't do that. I don't gamble. I don't play cards. I don't lock cards in my house. All right? You might. I don't. Okay? All them things. But can I tell you, I don't like my enemies. I don't love them. I don't like them. I don't care if they're alive. I don't care if they're dead. I don't care about their families, their house, their cars, their job. I don't have no use for them. They're my enemy. And Jesus said, I know thy works, and thy faith and all these things, but I have something against you. Because I'm not loving him if I'm not loving my enemy. How about that? I'm not loving him if I'm not loving my enemy. Let's hurry up and get this over with. Huh? Right? So by saying you love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them. Wait a minute. Now, I'm going to have to love them, and now I've got to bless them, and now I've got to do good to them. Now I've got to pray for them. Heavenly sunlight. I got to love them, I got to bless them, I got to do good to them. Now I got to pray for them. How much you love the Lord. Pray for them. Now you know how we pray? God, you show them I'm right. God, you show them they're wrong. God, you show them. God, you do this. God, you do that. And we don't pray for them, we pray against them. Are you hearing me? So let's look. Do you know anyone who needs your prayers more than your enemies? Is there anybody who needs prayer more than your enemies? Huh? But if you hate the person you're praying for. But what if you hate that person? Tell that to the Lord. He won't be surprised. Because he already knows what Richmond teaches every Sunday. I know thy works. 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 And he's not surprised when we tell him, Lord, you know I hate them. You know they're my enemy. Now, they're my enemy, Lord, but I really don't hate them. I don't like them. Well, Lord, I don't hate them. I don't like them. I don't like their ways. We try our best to cushion them, but they're our enemy, and we hate them, and the Lord knows that, and he says for us to love them. All right? Pray this. Pray this when you pray for them. I ask you to love this person through me because I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it on my power. So love that person through me. Teach me, Lord. I ask you for a love I don't have and can't begin to have. I can't begin to without his help. See, I can't. With the Lord, I can. But see, that's why he's telling these people that, because there are some believers that are undoubtedly, because he separated and said the sinners do this, but you're supposed to do that. See, the sinners do this, but we're not supposed to do just what the sinners do. We're supposed to go a step above. God will not turn you away when you come to him with an honest heart. Admitting you need his love to flow through you. Huh? Many times, the other person don't even know we hate him. You know? Well, you say, preacher, that's a hard word. No, it ain't. That's an honest word. That's an honest word. Have you checked on your enemy lately? Did you buy your enemy a Christmas present? Do you still send him a birthday card? Do you still call them, see if they're okay? No, I ain't called them a long time. Why? You call those you love. Well, I used to call them. Why don't you call them now? Man, that wore me out. Why don't you call them now and check on them? People I used to call and talk to on the phone, I don't talk to no more. Why? They're my enemy. Huh? When faced with someone who has mistreated you, listen to me now. We're talking about praying for them now. Ask God to do for them what you want God to do for you. That's your enemy. Seek the blessing for them you want God to bless you with. Seek it for that other person. You know, I'm standing here preaching to Brother Rick, and I'm looking at Brother Rick, and I have no problem praying that God would bless him and give him. I've even asked God that I don't want no blessing given to Brother Rick, because I love Brother Rick. He's way up here. But I'm not going to tell you who to bring out from the world and put here. I can't pray that for them. Now I'll get spiritual and pray, Lord, I pray for those who despitefully use me. Now I pray that. Have you ever prayed that? I've got real spiritual and prayed the scripture, God, I pray for those, and I didn't a bit more mean that than the man of us. Huh? Because what I wanted to do was go burn their house, and when they come out, shoot them in the knees. Right? Right? Yeah, that's what I really want to do. What I really want to do was kill all their dogs and cows and chickens and cats and everything. And that's what I want to go throw rocks in their yard. You know, that's what I really wanted to do. But no, I'm real spiritual because I'm a preacher. And oh God, I pray for those who despitefully use me. I don't even know if I pray. I ain't got the guts to pray that. I'm a hypocrite, but I can't be that big of one. I just can't do that. Okay. Seek the blessing for them you want God to bless you with. Wow. Wow. What if I was to say your enemy is a gift from God to you? What if I would tell you that your enemy is a gift from God to you? You say you're an idiot. To say that is not to excuse evil or to condone the wrong. No, no. It's to say exactly what Joseph meant when he said to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Now that's what the scripture says. You understand that Joseph's brothers was his enemy. They wanted him dead. They wanted to torture him. They wanted him to suffer. They put him in a pit. They sold him to slavery. They lied about his disappearance. And God said, "Now, Joseph, I'm going to give you all of that for a gift that you might glorify me. And then I'm going to save them with all the blessings that you're going to do." Huh? It's what the Bible says. Our enemies humble ourselves. My enemy humbles me. Huh? They keep us on our knees. But can I tell you, my enemy reveals my weakness. Now, you think that odd. My enemy ought to reveal their weakness, but it don't. It reveals my weakness. Now think on that. Huh? They expose our desperate need for God. My enemy shows me how much I need the Lord. Huh? Only Jesus says, love your enemies. Only Jesus. Now, I was reading an account of a Muslim, and he was a diehard Muslim. Diehard. I mean, he had no problem killing anybody that wasn't a Muslim. Right? And this account said about him that he decided, he said, "I want to read this Bible about this Jesus everybody's talking about." And he read it, and he wasn't too impressed with nothing. Some of their history in the Quran, he knew some of the people that was mentioned in the Old Testament. He knew some of the people. Because that they've known some of the people. You understand what I'm telling you, as far as history goes and everything. But he got over to the New Testament. He ran across Matthew 5, and Jesus said, "Love your enemies." He said, "Now wait a minute." He said, "There ain't no religion, there's nobody that tells you to love your enemies." And he got to reading that, and he realized that Jesus was something he was missing. And his testimony was, he said, "I had to bow on my face and call on Jesus Christ to save me. Because he said, love your enemies." And I said, wow. So only Jesus said, love your enemies. Now it's time for us to do it. So I reckon maybe we ought to start changing. And the first place to change is down at the house. And then we come to the church house and change. Then we go out there in the world and change. And maybe if we love him, I'm not saying to compromise. I'm not saying to be weak. I'm saying to be meek. I'm saying to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, love your enemies. I'm not saying that you got to quit believing right. That it, none of that. I'm not saying condone what's wrong. No, I just said love them. That's what Jesus said. He said to love them. Love your enemies. Think on that today. And tune in tonight. We got another part. We'll see what it is tonight. How about that? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for it all. Thank you for everything. You're so good. Now, Lord, if there's ever a time that we all need help, it's with this message, loving our enemies. And I pray that you might convict us of our sins and then accept our repentance when we get right. And then, Lord, give us courage to do right. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock live stream.